FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial league match at League Leaders South Shields. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with award news, and FC United skipper Michael Potts last week was named as the club's Player of the Month for February. And for more on this, Michael caught up with Tim at training on Thursday night.
Congratulations on Player of the Month. How did it feel being awarded that?
Amazing, yeah. Great, really. It's just, you know, the thing is just obviously continue to play and continue to form, and it's just a nice bonus, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I think it recognised that thing, your consistency of performance was the most important thing. I mean, so basically, quite a tough time for FC in terms of basically coming off some of the results and that, but obviously just 100% every game.
Yeah, it's just to get behind the lads. Like, obviously, I'm not going to win you a game, but I've got players around me who can. I'm lucky to have those kind of that calibre of players around me. So it's kind of keeping them positive and keeping on them, just come on, let's keep going. And it's just paid off, really.
Well, when you say not win a game, but I mean, let's look at it basically. The crossing for equaliser against Warrington. I mean, that was basically a ball in.
A bit of luck. Like, obviously, Griff sent me a bit wider than what I thought, and I just thought I just need to curl this in and let's hope someone can get the equaliser, and it paid off.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. And so, basically, moving on to recent form, obviously, superb 1-0 away at Nantwich. I mean, that could have been a real banana skin.
That was a big game because obviously, we'd just come off the back of a defeat. Like, obviously, Bamber Bridge, so that was the main focus of going in there and getting everyone together and getting, make sure that positive attitude and go in there and make sure we keep a clean sheet first off and then build on the win, and that's what happened.
And then obviously Saturday, Mickleover again, another one that we all thought was going to be a real tricky game, and 2 minutes we were ahead.
Well, the thing is with that one, again, we conceded 4 goals at home, so we were really annoyed, the squad was annoyed with that, so we were again like big focus, clean sheet, good performance, get everyone rattled up, ready to go, and that's why, and it paid off.
And then obviously we can't not mention the South Shields game on Saturday. Yeah. Obviously we're travelling up tomorrow. It's going to be
looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be. It's one of those games. The two good sides, probably the best two teams in the league at the moment. So let the best team win on the day.
Yeah, and there's going to be. We reckon there's going to be about 2,500 people there. Basically, really two sets of fans are going to be really noisy. So
that's it. So just let's have it. Have a good day.
FC United captain Michael Potts there speaking on Thursday. To the women's team now, and on Sunday afternoon the Reds progressed through to the final of the Manchester FA County Cup following a 5-0 win at AFC Oldham. Here are the post-match thoughts of manager Cameron Hussain speaking with Neil Boo.
It was a pretty convincing 5-0 win against AFC Oldham there. I couldn't see any negatives. It was 5 different scores again. We spotted it around like we did last week. You must be very, very pleased with the way things are moving at the moment.
Yeah, great team performance. I think we've attacked on the front foot and we've put them to the sword early doors, and we've got some reward for it. So pleased with the performance, I thought, and the clean sheet as well, especially. So big well done to all of them.
Yeah, we had a couple of sort of like little knocks, I suppose, with Chloe getting 2 rumbles in the second half, and Corey had been off for about a quarter of an hour. She looked like she was struggling with her knee, but it looks okay at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's just managing players at this time of the season where you've got to make sure that everyone's fit and firing to their full potential. So Chloe's taken a couple, but she'll battle through it. And Corey looks all right. She's come back on, so no complaints on the injury part.
So we've got to reshape everything now with Fran being unavailable for, as they call it, 9 months. But we had two centre-backs and they both scored today with Chelsea and Abbey both getting thunder goals. It's nice that they're coming from the back as well as from the front.
Yeah, we've had a shift around and it's been a nice little seamless transition. So, and Abbey and Chelsea have done fantastic with McCarrick along on the side. So, and it's nice for him to score a header and open play goal for Chelsea as well. And they've really enjoyed it today, but I think they've shown their adaptability again.
Yeah, so we should be at Blackpool next week, but this is the ground that gets submerged at the first drop of rain. I suppose we'll just have to keep our eyes on the social media to see whether this one goes ahead.
Yeah, I think everyone's just got to sit tight and see what the FA say first with all this going on, and then hopefully we'll get a bit of clarity throughout the week and we'll post it out on social media as soon as we can, but hopefully we'll get some football, and if not, we'll just have to sit tight.
Neil Boo there speaking to women's team manager Cameron Hussain following his side's excellent 5-0 win over AFC Oldham in the County Cup semi-final on Sunday. And finally for this week's news, with other leagues and sporting bodies cancelling their upcoming scheduled events due to the ongoing coronavirus crisis, the Northern Premier League confirmed on Friday that its league programme for Saturday would continue as planned. The Reds therefore headed north on Friday afternoon ahead of its weekend clash at league leaders South Shields. To judge the mood in the FC United camp heading into the weekend, James caught up with FC United manager Neil Reynolds following their arrival in the northeast.
Well, Neil, thank you for joining us on the eve of this game in extraordinary circumstances. Coach just come up from Manchester Northwest. What's the mood, would you say, amongst the squad?
I mean, it's fantastic, James. Firstly, I want to say a big thank you to the club for creating an extra professional environment today, you know, to give the lads the opportunity to travel up the day before and not rushing around on game day, you know, just says so much about the football club. It's been a relaxed atmosphere coming up. Obviously the first hour was a little bit touch and go. We were waiting to find out whether or not the actual fixture will go ahead. Then we got confirmation, I think, for the rest of the journey. You know, lads are just looking forward to the stay tonight and then, you know, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Any injury news?
No, obviously this week we've let Jack Lenehan go out on loan. We've let Ben Kerr go to Runcorn. We've said goodbye to Larnell Cole. We've brought in Evermore, the goalkeeper. And we've brought in Keaton Ward from Barnsley. Everybody else is fit and raring to go. So, you know, we've just got to make sure that the team selection is right for tomorrow and, you know, hopefully go and give South Shields a really good game.
Has this uncertainty, has it played on yourselves, you think, in any way?
I mean, it has with me. I mean, people, you know, I've got to be careful what I say because obviously, you know, this is an epidemic that's going across the world now at the minute. I do feel that I think maybe some people may have been a bit hasty in cancelling fixtures, and you know, I was just praying that our fixture wouldn't be affected. Obviously, I want everybody to be fit and well and no one to contact the virus. But for me, you know, football's everything, and you know, we've done a lot of preparation in leading up to today's game, and it's a fixture that we've been looking forward to all season. And we've got there now, and it's 1-2, and I'm sure with the Premier League fixtures being cancelled and fixtures in and around it, then you know, it's going to add to the atmosphere tomorrow and probably a few more on the gate than what they originally expected.
What would you say that you've got to look out for about South Shields? What are their main strengths?
I mean, listen, they're top of the league by 9 points, and they're there for a reason. You know, I've come out in my newsletter this week and said, although they've got the biggest budget and probably a budget that would fit into the National League, I still like the way Lee Picton and Graham Fenton do things. And, you know, they're a footballing side. They've got great players. Like I said, you know, the pressure's on them to go and win the league this season. But, you know, they've carried that, you know, and they've never hidden the fact that, you know, they've been well-backed and well-supported and they've gone through the leagues and they deserve that. What they're good at, I think they're strong in every area. And I think once they recognise that there's a slight weakness in an area, they go and strengthen. And, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've brought in players from Sunderland's first team, players from Preston doing a 3-hour or 6-hour round trip. So it just shows what, you know, what their intentions are. For us, you know, they'll be wary of us like we're wary of them. You know, I'm sure it's going to open itself up to be a really good game tomorrow.
You speak of the players they keep bringing in, but you've got quite a settled unit. Is that potentially an advantage from your point of view?
I think so. I mean, listen, we set out, didn't we, at the end of June, and you know, I'm delighted to say that I've still got 13 or 14 of them lads in and around the squad. So, you know, that bodes well. The last few weeks, although we've had couple of suspensions and injuries. You know, it's nice to get the settle back four back together. It's nice that Potts and Griffiths have been able to continue the relationship. It's nice to see Tundy back on the goal scoring charts. It's nice to see Donoghue back in there. I think what goes for us is that we all know how each other play, and you know, I've said this a few times, and I believe that in your career you're lucky if you come across a really unique dressing room. And when I say that, I don't just mean good lads, I mean good lads who become best friends, and I've got a squad that are best friends, and you know, you can see the way they interact with each other on the coach and going out for a meal tonight, and they're just in and out of each other's pockets. And you know, there's times this season when things haven't gone for us on the football pitch, but that togetherness has been key and helps us through games. And I'm just hoping that at times tomorrow when things may not go for us, that the lads will definitely stick together. And I certainly know that they're proud to wear that badge and they'll wear the shirt, and they'll be doing everything they can do to get the right result tomorrow.
South Shields won in midweek to go 9 points clear. FC have a game in hand. Is it, in a curious way, is it more must make it that it's more incumbent on FC to want to win this game than at South Shields?
Listen, you know, I'm not a manager that sits on the fence, James. You know, we have to win tomorrow. You know, there's no point going there trying to play for a draw. You know, it's win or lose, you know, cash or bust, or whichever way they want to say it. It is, and the South Shields will say the same thing. You know, if they won't look for a point, they'll know that we've got a game in hand. They know if they win tomorrow, the 12 points clear, we've only got a game in hand, and that's going to be a lot to catch up in 10 games. They also know if we win tomorrow, we're 6 points behind with the game in hand, and you know, then the pressure swings back on them. So I think you'll find that two teams are certainly playing to go for the win. South Shields home form, some people have questioned it, saying that they're a better side away from home. I don't think that. I think they'll like to get down to Mariners Park tomorrow and put on a show. I know that we're going to really travel in our numbers, and you know, we want to reward the fans. So I think everyone's going to see an open attacking, really high quality game of football. And you know, I've got lads in my side and they've got lads in their side that should be playing in the next level above, if not the level above that.
Warrington and Morpeth also won in midweek, so Warrington just a couple of points behind us. When the teams behind you start to sort of snap at your heels, do you think that helps to focus, or are you a unit that very much concentrates on what you have to do?
Yeah, not really, James. I mean, I'm not a big, you know, manager who looks at a league table. I know we're second. I don't really look behind us. I just look in front of us. And at the minute, I'm looking at South Shields. If they might not look over their shoulders. I know I certainly don't. If we don't win tomorrow and someone else wins, we kind of probably change positions with people. But there's a long way to go in the season. You know, our target was top 10. It was 1.5 points per game. And, you know, it was a cup run. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in the final of a cup, second in the league. And who knows, chasing down the leaders. So, you know, at the minute, I'm definitely looking forward and not behind me. And, you know, that might be over-ambitious. But when you're in this position, you've got to do that, I think.
Finally, and this is a very big question, FC, it's about the situation, really. Because I think at this level, clubs like FC and many other clubs at this kind of level, finances, it's almost like on a week-to-week basis, and games getting postponed, and the prospect of, say, the rest of the season being postponed would be very, very serious for FC. Do you think there's a case, whilst balancing the health question, for going on for another few games? There's a chance for FC, for example, with higher level football being postponed, for FC to basically invite another level of fans and to help, say, if FC could play the next two home games even, it would just assist the club financially, just to stave off what the issues could be in the future. What have you any feelings on that?
I mean, the run that we're on at the minute has added to the crowd week in, week out, especially when we're at Broadhurst Park. You know, we've broke that 2,000 mark now, and I think we've seen in the last few home games that we've I think last Saturday week was, you know, 2,088. If we went and won against South Shields, putting the coronavirus to one side, I think we might be getting up towards the 2-3, 2-4 mark. But all of a sudden, with no Premier League and with no Championship, First Division, Second Division, there's going to be a lot of people wanting the football fix. And, you know, my words of advice is, you know, even if we don't get the result we want at South Shields, it's going to be an interesting last 10 games. And, you know, whatever people have heard about FC over the years, or maybe lost support or whatever it'll be, I'm telling people that the good times are coming back, and there's a really good feeling around the place. And we play the right way, we play good football, and I'm sure if you came and spent your money at Broadhurst Park, you wouldn't be disappointed with what you've seen. So, you know, hopefully, you know, from a selfish point of view, and the finances are key to our club, that we can break 3,000, 4,000, who knows, and, you know, every little bit counts. But for us, you know, the key thing is playing the right way and enticing fans for the right reason.
And very finally, another big question. If basically the league was unable to finish, what do you think would be fair? Do you think it would be fair that the top two teams just went up automatically? You know, if there was no prospect of playing the games before, say, July, August, or...
No, I do. I think the top two, if the games calculation was right, you know, for example, if you know, Basford had only played 29 and we played 31, and the points average meant that they could go above us with the two games in hand, then I'd expect their points tally to be odds of them to go up. However, as it stands, you know, we've both got equal games. I think there's only Morpeth with games in hand, and even with the games in hand, they still go 5 points behind us if they win every game. And I think, you know, if the league was to postpone the season, the fair way to do it, the equitable way to do it, would be to promote the two teams with the highest points. And, you know, that, I'm saying that, I've just equal it with Basford there. If it wasn't us, it should be someone else, because it's not over a week, it's been over a course of a long season, and we fought really hard to get to second place, and I don't want anybody to kind of pull the rug away from us. We fully deserve where we are, and, you know, if that meant getting promotion, then that means getting promotion.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for giving up this time on the, as you settle in the hotel. Have a good evening, and we'll look forward to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, can't wait, James. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mariners Park, the home of South Shields, and this afternoon the home of South Shields against FC United of Manchester in a proper big game up at the top of the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. This opening bit of the show, Swampy's with us. Hello, Swampy.
Good afternoon, Ben.
As you can hear in the background, it's very windy, very loud, very boisterous. But the backdrop to this game, it's been a bit, extraordinary the last 48 hours or so in the world of sport. And
yeah, Dickie Davis should be around, should he, for the world of sport.
Or Alan Partridge, one of the two.
Uh-huh.
And This potentially could be the last game of the season, potentially, the way things are shaping up.
I think realistically, it should be the last game of the season. Saying that, the one thing to bear in mind is that, without being disrespectful, lots of clubs have 100, 150 supporters going to watch them. You could easily space them around a football pitch and no one come into contact with anybody. But obviously, we'll have to wait till Monday. And what we would expect and hope, and we don't hold it, you put it, you hope more than anything, is that the FA can step in and can help with a fund to make sure that clubs do not suffer hugely, because this could kill a number of football clubs, because financially, if there's not 12, 15 games to go and you've got no revenue coming in, some players are on contract, they're going to be wanted to be paid regardless. So it's going to be dealt with and looked at in a professional manner. It doesn't affect the Premier League teams, because financially it doesn't have any bearing really for those, but this standard of football, it has a major bearing.
Now, in the pre-match interview, because bearing in mind it is all up in the air at the moment, but it doesn't look like the coronavirus is going anywhere soon, so this could be the last, you know, mass gathering in this stadium for a while, and it could be the last time me and you talk to one another for a while.
I've been quarantined myself, I can't go back to Belgium. So
Neil Reynolds said something interesting, and it's something that I picked up upon in watching the news last night, the sports news. How do they resolve the titles, the playoffs, the relegation? And Neil's raised the possibility, and it's a possibility I've heard elsewhere, that you cannot not give the title to Liverpool in the Premier Division.
And I'm not interested about what's going on there.
This sets up where we are.
Well, this is one of the reasons
it feeds through. It what's good enough for Liverpool is good enough for AFC Monton in the Manchester Football League. It filters all the way up.
It does indeed, and I think to a degree that's one of the reasons why today's game's on here, because if Shields win, that's 12 points.
Yeah,
you're given the league.
Yeah.
If FC can take it back to 6 points, it's hard for them to give them the league. But if it goes to 12, I think the league's over and they can say, right. And I think FC United and Manchester, depending what happens today with other results, could maybe finish second. And I would say second goes up and the top goes up.
Well, this is what I was about to add. I don't think you can relegate a side based on that criteria. There's three teams, you know, at the bottom of the Premier League who would say, we've still got a chance of getting out of this if we could play our games. And therefore, there is an argument to say the Premier Division next year will be 22 teams with extra relegation spots. If that happens, with Leeds and West Brom coming up, that has to filter all the way down. So you'd think there'd be two teams going up out of the MPL. And therefore, this game this afternoon might be really important, because Basford are taking on Scarborough.
Well, that's the point. FC United have to get something here today. You know, it's a big, big crowd. I mean, just heard that everyone saying that was a Sheffield United supporter going past. Well, they're here. There's about 30 Sheffield United supporters, over 40 supporters from Swansea City here as well, and they're in the FC end. But yeah, I mean, look, I think Neil just said to players, go out today, we've got no pressure on you at all, go out and enjoy yourself, and we'll let the league decide what they want to do come Monday, Tuesday. I can't see the game going ahead on Tuesday night in reality. Although saying that, if they say they're going to say 500 is a maximum of gathering, then that makes it really awkward for FC with so many season ticket holders and so on and so forth. What do you do? Do you say just behind closed doors no one can go, or do you put a lottery out there so you can basically, if you get a ticket, you get a ticket? I don't know.
It's like today, Buxton's match with Warrington has been postponed, not because of anything at Warrington or Buxton, but because Warrington played Matlock.
As soon as any other players get it, then that's it's game over. You know, I mean, not only that, you've got the referees and the assistants as well. We'll see. Look, I think all we can do today is watch the football, enjoy the football. Personally, again, my own personal belief, this game for me should have been off. We're in an area where the Northern League is prevalent,
and that's off.
And it's been off. And everyone else, there's only the Vanarama and ourselves that have taken the decision to play. But look, we are here tonight. Let's hope that let's just get some football on. Let's get home. That's it, really. That's all you can say.
And the football itself this afternoon, it's a tough test, this, for FC United. I mean, it's South Shields have been on it. They've not been on it at home, though, so there's a little gap there of opportunity.
Well, who's the team that beat them home and away?
Nantwich beat them 4-1, but then lost at home.
Yeah, but Witten have done it, haven't they? So, you know, if Witten can do it, you know, anything's possible, really, here. I think with a big crowd, they've got a very good team, don't get me wrong. You've got Mambura, the young lad from Sunderland, you know, made his debut at 16 years of age for Sunderland, played 15 times in the first team. He's a great playmaker in the middle of the park, and they'll try to get everything through him. Nathan Lowe, obviously, points to prove here again against FC.
Jason Gonzalez.
Gonzalez on the bench. We've also got Jason Gilchrist, you know, at FC United. I mean, it's not like when we came here in 2017 for a pre-season friendly and they'd just been promoted, they won the FA Vars and basically battered us 3-0, and it could have been about 15-0. This is a game, brand new, different squad, different players, different manager, all to play for. Should be a good game. The pitch is absolutely superb, as it always is here. And as I say, big crowd, lots of people in the ground, and we can expect hopefully some good football. I think FC have just got to, they've proven through the season they're rightly in the spot for the right reasons. If we get beat today, it's no disgrace. It's the matter of the performance. Neil will be looking at them to work hard, to play hard, to try and get something out today. No pressure on them. It's all the pressures with South Shields. As you said, they've had an up and down month or so.
Studied it recently.
They have
studied
the two great results. Bamber Bridge, it was a tough game for them.
And Nantwich.
And Nantwich was a tough game for them, but they came through that. Now, I would say if they were a semi-pro club and they were training Tuesdays, Thursdays, that might have taken a little bit out of them. But they're a full-time club, so they've been in resting, having all the physio and all the rest of it through the week. So that'll help them more so. If it had been any other club, like, let's say, a Whitby or an FC United Manchester, it would have taken its toll. Two away games against two tough teams. The results keep you buoyant, but equally, tired legs, you know, for semi-professional footballers is always can be a problem. For South Shields, they don't have that. They have the luxury of basically training every day, giving breaks to players when they need it, and, you know, will that count? But the good thing is, from an FC perspective, Ben, is that FC were clever, were professional. I mentioned this a few months ago, what we started doing, and Neil's done that.
Yeah.
Came up yesterday on the team bus, gave the opportunity to the players to relax last evening, had a nice evening, and then they've come down here this afternoon, so there's no long travelling, and that in that respect is excellent. So, you know, two teams.
Well, I've just heard the whistle in the dressing room. They're about to come out of the dressing rooms here. So, without further ado, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army, here at Mariners Park. It's South Shields against FC United of Manchester in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. It's James Quinn, but first, Swamp Air.
The ball played awkwardly into FC's penalty area. It's headed away, though, by FC. Ball picked up, and it's a claret ball. Ball played out to this near touchline again. Gillies plays the ball across, it goes past three people, and it's an easy finish for Jason Gilchrist. And that was, again, poor defending on this near touchline. FC United not defending the ball as they should do, and it's the opening goal of the afternoon, and you won't get a simpler one than that. And FC United, well, Pot saying we need to get our shape a bit better than that. 22 minutes on the clock, and it's Gilchrist, the ex-FC-er.
Down the line it goes. Aaron Morris wins it, rather a vertical header there. It's 1 second ball by Lowe. Now Gilchrist back to Lowe, and they combining well, those two FC old boys. And Lowe now plays the cry. Gillies with a real chance here. It's 2-0. And well. FC, I'm afraid, just pulled out a shake there. And Gillies there just made the run behind the defence. And South Shields double their lead.
It was an absolute fantastic ball. It had what it had. It had pace and huge amount of pace. A great ball and a good finish as well. And the goal's been coming, the second goal, to be honest. As I say, they are the better team in this first 45 so far. And however, FC United again just give the opportunity for a team like this to put a ball in, and they've done that, and it is 2-0, and it's a big uphill task. But again, there's an overlap here on this right hand side, not been spotted.
Now it's Dodd. Oh, gives the ball away, threaded through. Nice work from Lowe and Gilchrist, but good work from Greville, but he loses it. Shows too much of it to Lowe. Through now. FC have got to defend this. Jones with a clean. It falls for Gilchrist. It's 3-0. And FC United now really under the pump. There's a lot of shout. Belford's remonstrating with the midfield, giving the ball away. But Jones tried to clear the ball. It hit his fellow defender. It bounced for Gilchrist, and he put it away with aplomb. It's South Shields 3, FC 0 now. And is there any way back for the Reds?
Not with dreadful defending like that, FC United and Manchester. They're undoing for that one. The first two goals may be forgivable. Great ball in for the second. The third, though, that is absolutely dreadful.
Anyway, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Second half at Mariners Park. South Shields 3-0 up. The only way he's up, everyone, is from P and James.
Thank you very much, Ben. And FC with the steepest of uphill challenges for the remainder of this contest. And if they are to stick some light at the end of the tunnel, a fairly early goal in this second half, and they've got to believe, and they've got to. Indeed, as Swampy suggested, not think about Barrow or any such similar scenario.
Just get out there, play the game second half. You know, it's more than likely that FC will come away here with no points at this moment in time, which is, you know, understandable because we are 3-0 down. But, you know, strange things have happened. Will they take the foot off the gas, the home team? Will they want to get three or four more goals to put FC to the sword? Or are FC United... Or do they have that resilience? Do they have the quality to try and get something back into this game early on? We'll have to see. It's going to be very interesting.
As the substitutes enter the fray, Trickett Smith and Morgan Smith.
So we now have the Smiths, the Smith twins.
So we've got, the third player has been withdrawn. So
we've got Finlay Sinclair Smith, Daniel Trickett Smith, and Morgan Homerson Smith.
So
all on.
Turnbull on the halfway line, plays it out very nicely, first time to Baxter. Baxter, though, has got pressure from Sinclair Smith, has to play the ball back to Verstraten, who shows too much of it there. And a good work from FC to win the ball back. Baxter, but now it's Owolabi in from the left hand side, out into the box. Owolabi, chance!
Yes!
And FC United get that goal, gets them the lifeline. It was excellent work on the left hand side, Finlay Sinclair Smith.
Well, he didn't give up, did he? He didn't give the ball up. He played down the left-hand side. Tundy then took over, and his strength and his perseverance, he went past one, went past two. It looked like he wasn't going to get the shot away, and he then put it across the goalkeeper, and that was an excellent finish. And FC United do get a goal.
And credit to Neil Reynolds for making those decisive substitutions, because they paid off. Baxter, FC have got to stay on the metal here in the defending. They can't afford to concede now. Two goals behind still. Baxter, long ball forward. Oh, and unmarked there. And it's shot by Lowe. Oh, absolute disaster from FC United. It's 4-1. And talk about just standing still while Lowe turned on it. And great strike on the half volley. But really, FC United, one step forward, two steps back.
Well, they are there, but I honestly believe there should have been a free kick before that, because that looks to me like a handball. It was controlled in the midriff with the hand. Then, yes, a great finish. Dreadful defending again. He's hit it from 25 yards out. No one closing down. And FC United find themselves, well, three goals down again. 4-1.
Lord played a right-hand side. Being forced back. Good pressing from FC this time, but they keep control of it. But they get a bit of a tangle there. And it falls off of Sinclair Smith. Plays a long ball out the left-hand side. Trickett Smith out. Owolabi! Into the box, Owolabi. No, it falls now. Trickett Smith to the byline. Trickett Smith plays it back now. Sinclair Smith, nice ball in. Potts, but it's well met by Stratton there. And Morris wins the second ball. Edge of the box, Morris. plays it out left-hand side. Finlay Sinclair-Smith, can he get a low cross in? Oh, will Arby on the turn?
Yes!
It's 4-2! That FC will not give this up.
Well, again,
it's 4-2.
Smith on the far side, never gave up. Play the ball across. Thompson-Smith on this near touchline, won the ball, plays the ball out, down the left-hand side, cuts inside, ball to Oluwabi. He had a lot to do then, he's back to goal, he's seen twist with the ball, and he's put it past the goalkeeper, and it's 4-2. Season on. Nice ball from Griffiths to Sinclair-Smith, the overlaps there with Dodd. Dodd does really well. Ball into the penalty area, goes across three players, and it's dealt with initially, but they've given the ball away. Now Griffiths again on the edge of the area, far left-hand side. Precision ball needed into the area. Ball towards the back post. It's a decent ball. Ball comes across. Oh, and it's headed off the line. Sunday's trying to get on the end of it. It falls for him kindly now, but again, he's the wrong back to go. Plays it outside the penalty area. Now, can they get a shot away? First time shot comes in. He deflects off a player. Can they clear the lines? Chested down by the defender. Ooh. Into the arms of the goalkeeper. Panic right. Stations for a second there for the home team. Right. But they've got all the luck that they need this afternoon.
It's great work from FC. It's Tunde Olabi stretches, maybe with a cramp or something. But FC are really, they are a different team in the second half.
Well, Tunde sort his own cramp out as FC United on the halfway line. Thompson-Smith, who's been absolutely magnificent for 45 minutes, and he tries to play a threaded through ball in, but doesn't quite come off, and then Tunde gets up from his injury, and then the keeper makes a mess of it, and again, they just get away with it. Or do FC United win the ball back? They do, in Thompson-Smith. Thompson-Smith plays it to Trickett-Smith. Trickett-Smith now, he's got a play on the outside, but chips the ball, so great ball towards the back post. His first shot comes in, oh, he's off the crossbar, for goodness sake. That was a wonderful, he drilled it. And that was Sinclair-Smith, drilled it into the ground. I think the keeper got a slight touch on it, hit the crossbar out for a throw into FC United. An exciting end to this game. FC still losing by 4-2, but certainly a credible second half performance from the boys in white. As now Morris to the byline, cuts inside, does really well, goes past one, and then great defending from the number six, who's had an absolutely magnificent game, Turnbull.
Less than 2 minutes of the 90 left.
3,274, I think, the largest crowd here at this ground, as FC United concede, or thought they were getting a free kick. They're not, and here's an opportunity, they could kill the game off here now. Two players at the back post, one of them's the number 11, and indeed, he puts the game to bed. I mean, we thought the game was over anyway, in all fairness, but that makes it 5-2. Not a story of the second half. However, it was a cracking goal, and that man, Ballymumber, at the back post. FC were looking for the free kick. Dodd is talking to the referee and saying, you know, you've not done us any favours there again, and it's got to finish, I think, 5-2. And here they come again. It's the halfway line, and ball chipped over the top, looking for an offside, not going to get FC, you have to defend it, and they clear the lines. Picked up by Dodd can't afford to lose it there, he doesn't, he plays it to Sinclair-Smith. Sinclair-Smith has Tunde Oluwobi, but Sinclair-Smith decides to hold the ball up, plays it to Tunde now. Tunde now taking over as the winger, cuts inside, can get the shot away.
He
scores an absolute cracker.
Well,
that's his hat-trick. There's no celebration, and that's 5-3.
35 goals this season for Tunde. Two successive hat-tricks, all in vain today.
It's going to be an interesting wrap-up with Neil. Big boot in the air, but he miscues it, and that indeed is the final score here at Mariners Park. And, well, it's an interesting game to talk about. It is indeed the last game of the season. The home team go 12 points in front now, and FC United can look at a game when your old cliche of a game of two halves could never be anything further than the truth, Ben and James.
Just to give you those final results, in fact, Lancaster 1, Witton 1, Baseford 0, Scarborough 1, and Radcliffe 2, Whitby 2. So basically, in terms of the title, South Shields 12 points clear with 69, FC on 57, Warrington and Baseford on 55, all played the same number of games. Lancaster on 53, having played two more games. Whitby down with 50 and played one fewer games. But basically, the silver lining for FC was that it hasn't affected the positions.
No, not at all.
And they remain second on, and having played so that's not a bad result. But you'd have to let's credit Neil Reynolds for making decisive. You know, I thought it was maybe a bit drastic, but they all made an impact. And, you know, for a while there, South Shields, when it was 4-2, there's no question South Shields were just not... Well, they were almost hanging on a bit, and there was wave after wave, and then they got that break to seal it up at 5-2. And even then, Tunde Olavi sticks a third goal in. What quality he was this afternoon. But Trickett Smith, Sinclair Smith, Thompson Smith, all of them coming on at half-time and making an impact. Credit to South Shields over the 90 minutes. They have good value for the win, but FC will lament the fact that they made errors at the back. They're better than that. And on the day when they needed not to make fundamental errors, they made some. And after they had done that, there was too much to claw back. And despite a brave fight and winning the second half, as it were, they've still gone down.
I think you're right. I think certainly if we hadn't had that first half, we wouldn't have had that second half.
No, we wouldn't.
And that's football's a funny old game in that respect. You know, I think if it had been, let's say, 1-0 at half time, even 2-0, it would have been a totally different game second half. But FC United, I mean, we called it during the first half. The players that weren't performing weren't up to it today for whatever reason. No disgrace in that respect, because they've all had great moments this season and played superbly well for FC United. Didn't work in the first half. He had no other choice but to change it. It wasn't a question, should he?
It was bold.
Well, no, I don't think it was. I don't think it was bold.
Free substitution at that time is bold.
No, not when you know the three players aren't performing and you know that you're being beaten because those three players aren't performing. You've got to change it. So there was no other choice. Change it now. There's no point in going 10 minutes into the second half or 5 minutes and then changing. You change it at half time. You know the players that basically aren't performing, and away you go.
Now, if this is the last game of the season, just to throw this out there, we've been discussing it all afternoon. Points per game could be vitally, vitally important in the AGM Cup, which is going to be very much on the agenda in May and June. FC United currently sitting second in that table. They're currently on 1.78 points per game. That is the same as Morpeth, but Morpeth have less goals.
And Morpeth also have played four fewer games.
Doesn't matter.
Apparently that doesn't matter, does it?
No.
I think it should,
by the way. An assumption that Morpeth would win four games is...
No, but that's the way it goes. You go with the points per game, 1.78. We're both tied, but FC United have a better goal difference. So
if it came to that...
Yeah.
If the lawyers went, go on.
Well, it's one of those, isn't it?
But in a way, there will be... We don't know what's going on.
Neil going over to the home supporters and applauding the home supporters. Again, I mean, this is a big learning curve for Neil as well, because he's not been to grounds like this. He's not been a manager playing in front of crowds like this, apart from the games at FC. You know, he's never been up here before. A lot of the grounds he's been to this season in the Northern Prem he hasn't been to. So again, it's a big learning curve for him as well. And it's one of those occasions where every game you learn.
James, you had a point to make.
Well, it was quite a major point is that there'll be all sorts of questions about societies, like, there'll be pressure on, look, it's football, we have to make a ruling here, and it may feel unfair to people, but a ruling is going to have to be made, and it may just have to be expedient. So that, in a way, the points per game thing will be an obvious choice. The other one will be the automatic team goes up, and fewer team comes down, whatever.
I think the argument is you can't relegate a team on points per game.
Yeah.
You can't relegate a team before the season's done, because it's
but then FC couldn't go up then, could they? Because
the argument I've heard is that you'd have 20 if it's top flight, you'd have 22 teams in the Premier Division this year. It's exceptional circumstances, isn't it? Yeah, it's like the old days. You used to have divisions that big in the old
there
days.
There's that thing about not playing cups, so you would have to facilitate the playing of these extra games. You would have some of the cup competition like
the... I think the County Cup, we're in the final of the County Cup. I don't think that's going to be played, is it?
It may be played, I suppose, in August. That could be that. It's a one-off game, so that could be played almost as a quasi pre-season friendly, couldn't it? If football was back then.
But we don't know where we are at the moment. It is all up in the air, and we're just trying to
fill their time.
Not fill their time, but basically this could be the last this could be the last commentary of the season, so we've got to try and create some kind of full stop for everyone to go, wonder what happens next. That's all we're doing.
I don't think anyone cares.
three players not quite at it, three good players who just weren't at it today, and also basic errors at the back. I mean, particularly the third goal, I think, that 1-0 down with, you know, four minutes of the first half. So a mixed cocktail of players not being quite at it, and then, of course, the defence, and that really disastrous period in the last 5 minutes before half-time when, well, you can look at it whichever way you want, but that was, the game was almost out of sight at 3-0.
I mean, we've been, at half-time we were, you know, suggesting, is this another Barrow? The thing that you could compare Barrow and South Shields to is the quality of players. You can't make mistakes. It doesn't matter if you're just 90% on it, that's enough for them. That's enough to make a difference.
They're in our division.
Forget the money.
Forget the full-timeness. Forget the budget.
Forget all the extra pep you could put into
forget
a match.
Forget all that.
Yeah, yeah. Forget
it's 11 versus 11
here.
On the pitch.
Yeah.
Listen.
Go on then. I'm listening.
Let them have the moment. You know, they're a team on the up. They're a team on the up. Yeah, and you know, if they can get crowds like this every week, fantastic. And you know, it's money well spent. We've helped them today.
Yeah, but in you know what I was going back to before about having a smile on my face in that second half, we've had a couple of hard years. If this is the last game of the season, we've had a good time, haven't we?
Cracking. It's been a cracking season, to be honest.
Very good season.
You know, Neil's come in. He's steadied the ship. We are where we are. I'm under budget. I mean, we've got one of the lowest budgets, and we're actually under that budget. I mean, that just shows exactly what you can do with a certain... I think, you know, there's players that today he won't be happy with, and we know who they are. And he's gone out there. He's changed it around. And, you know, it's...
But you can't, just to say, I know that the story is developing that, it, you know, those three players were off it in the first half. You don't know. They might have found another avenue. And it's something that you said in the start of the game. They find a weakness and they drive it home. And that's what they did in that first half.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And it didn't help that FC United's defending at points of the game was woeful. You know, and that's, you've got to cut that and nullify that.
Tunde Olaba.
Three great goals. You know, to really fight for those goals. The first goal, he just kept on going, found the right position, found the composure, placed the ball. Second goal, he brought it through. He lost position. Somebody else picked it up. He got the ball back. Again, he placed it. And the third goal threads it through. If ever a player got his mojo back, 35, I think, for the season now in all competitions.
Ben's just got his wipes out now to sort out the imminent arrival of FC United manager. He's just been accosted by a man with a Noddy Holder haircut, two colours, and he's saying a lot of some nice platitudes. Neil's probably just saying, please, there's a lot of nice supporters here. You know, it's a great part of the world to apply your football in trade. And it's an afternoon where, they're my Rizzlers. I was looking for them. I was going to have a smoke before the boss came up, but he's up now. Or the gaffer, or Neil, as I like to call him.
Yeah.
Neil, thanks for coming up. Game build is probably the biggest game of the season. First versus second. You planned perfectly. Your preparation was perfect. What went so horribly wrong in the first 45 minutes?
Didn't turn up. Three lads didn't turn up. You know, and you know me by now. I'm not afraid to make substitutions. I haven't done three before, but I'm not going to put up with that. You know, I'm just not going to put up with it.
What did you put it down to then?
Work rate. Energy off the ball, pressing the first ball. Listen, the three lads that took it off at half-time have been with me all season. I'm certainly not going to stay on the radio and alienate them, hang them out to dry. The three lads that came on the second half, the Trickett, the Smiths, you know, all they did, and I won't say this word on radio, but they just worked the balls off. You know, that's what I say. And I tell my 11-year-old lad that, and I'll tell professional footballers that, I'll tell semi-pro footballers that. The ability comes, but when you put a shift in and you look at Finn Sinclair-Smith, you look at Trickett Smith, you look at Morgan Thompson Smith, they just worked and worked and worked and created the space for Tunde, got another hat trick. And listen, like I said, it didn't happen for them three that are substituted today, but you cannot address a game in that manner. You just cannot do that. And we've shown second half that we're equally, if not better than South Shields, but over the course of the 90 minutes, we've got beat 5-3, and that shows they're better than us.
Are you, with your preparation for the game, did they do anything different that you weren't aware of? Do you expect them to be the team that they were, the way they will play? Did they cause you any additional problems that you weren't aware of before you went out that today?
Everyone's in my teams this season and last season, and the old Bamberbridge, we press high from the front. The amount, I think I counted 32 times in the first half that the centre-half stepped out of play, got 25 yards in here and hit a diag and then put us under pressure straight away. Second half, they didn't do it once because we pressed high up the pitch. We got Portsy high, we got Griffiths high, our back four hit the halfway line and we suffocated them. And we haven't changed the way we play. That just comes down to willingness to take on instructions and willingness to motivate yourself in them areas. And, you know, as a manager, you don't want to go in there at half time. And I didn't lose my temper, I didn't do anything. I just went bum, 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 and we'll tweak a little thing. And that was it. You know, in second half, well, we'll get on second half.
A couple of the goals, and in football, you can sometimes say, you know what, that's an absolutely wonder ball in, superb. It's half of the defender to deal with it. Good finish. And maybe in that first half, you can say two of the goals, a bit of quality. Mm. And you're thinking, going in at half-time, 2-0, I'm making three changes. That's going to make a difference, I believe. And then you can see we conceded a really, really, really poor, poor goal for the three. That must have really infuriated you.
3-0 at half-time?
Yeah. The third goal.
The third goal here, mix-up. It was absolutely, you know, Luke, Doyley, you know, they got it wrong. They got it horribly wrong. And we said that at half-time, but I thought when we came out second half, we pulled the one back. I mean, I'll have to watch it back, and I've got to watch it and watch it. I'm convinced you might have had a better, angle. But
I said that to James. I said he controlled it. And
we're on top. The bench, you know, could fear that the FC United were getting on top. And I turned around to the linesman. He's having a laugh and a giggle with the fans, and you know, I said a few things to him. But even at 4-1, we didn't give up, did we? You know, we went 4-2, and I thought, go and get another one. And breakaway goal, great goal. And, you know, the kid from Sunderland, who's an absolutely exceptional player, you know, goals and scores. But we don't give up again. We go and get 5-3. And, you know, we bend one over at the end of the game and
hit the crossbar.
Listen, as a manager, you know, games, well, they're talking, don't they? Games are two halves. And I can't be more proud of my team today. I can't be. I mean, thanks to Scarborough, they've gone and done us a massive favour against Baysford, and I spoke to Darren Kelly this morning and he said they were ready. I actually thought we were going to come here and win today, and if we would have played like the second half over the course of 90 minutes, we would have won.
Well, it's something that's, I mean, we were just talking off air, you know, this is in a way, it's new for you. Mm. New ground again, you know, you've been to plenty of grounds this season you've not been to before. So not only are you developing the team, you're developing yourself, you're going to grounds, obviously the biggest crowd I've ever had here this afternoon. Good atmosphere, really, really good. So it's for you, it's a learning curve. And what do you get out of not only just the game itself, but out of everything today? What does that bring to you, Neil?
Me personally, you know, to walk out of the stadium with 3,000 plus, I mean, you could be in the Football League, you know, our fans, their fans, great spectacle. You know, the linesman said 5 minutes ago, what a great game of football. And it was, as a manager, you know, today didn't just happen, and as a manager, what do I get out of it? I saw real progression in that second half. I saw progression from the start of the season all the way through, and the way we play through the lines, our fluidity, our passing, our rotations. You know, as a manager, when it ticks, it makes you really proud. Unfortunately, it ticked when we were, you know, four or five goals, you know, worse off, and that's not our style. You know, apart from Barrow this season, you know, we don't concede like that, but we did. But listen, this squad has come so far, and we're going to carry on going, because I said that I want them together, you know, for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Yeah, we're going to tweak it along the way like we've done this season. I've kept 9 out of the, you know, the 22, 23 that started. But, you know, there's a core in there now. And, you know, like the fans were singing there, we're proud of you at the end. And you know, I'm glad they're proud of them, because they've been brilliant. And hopefully the season doesn't end today, but they've been brilliant over the course of the season.
But if it does, is that a fitting game to finish the season, even though it's a defeat?
What it is, yeah, it's a game. It's the way FC United play under Neil Reynolds, I say. You know, that second half is what we're about. Fast, front foot, attacking football that FC United like to watch, that I like to play. Goals of the highest quality. You know, people dying on the line, people working the socks off. That's what I want from my teams. And, you know, anywhere I've been, we've created that. And, you know, I'm going to look back on it. Listen, I'm really mad about the first half, but I've got to let it go. I've got to somehow shake it. And sometimes, as a manager, you know, I'll take all the pressure, but sometimes certain people got to look at themselves and go, did I do enough today? I know I did.
you know, I know my coach this afternoon, and I know, you know, lots of players did, but did everyone? And that's the
preparation.
Key question.
And the thing is, some people might argue, well, was the preparation right? Of course it was, because you came up a day before. Listen, you give the players time to relax and enjoy themselves.
Massive thank you to the club, you know, galvanised by Adrian Seddon, you know, the board, Paul Smith, you know, Viv Ware. What they've put on for us the last 28 hours has been exceptional. You know, we've been treated like professional footballers, and we're prepared the right way. And, you know, this has nothing to do with the preparation. Second half, you saw what we're about, and unfortunately, we didn't just come out. Did we freeze 3,000? Did people just not get in the game? Would, you know, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, because lots of people have had. Donoghue was great last week. Charlie Ennis has been great. See, Regan Linney's been great, but it just didn't happen for them.
Just one moment in the game. I'm just going to go back to the 4-1 moment. I felt, and maybe you think I'm being harsh, that although there, I think there was a handball, that he had too much time to make that shot. And I thought that was, given that exactly what you needed was an early goal to get back into it. Yeah. Absolute credit after that. Now, I would say also, did you not feel that with the three Smiths, as it were, that not only were they tenacious, but there's a lot more craft was going on that left-hand side and on both flanks.
Listen, as a manager, sometimes you've got to listen. You know, you can't just be single-minded. I've listened to my staff today, and I'm not saying this wasn't the RLZ team. And, you know, Charlie Ennis has got more experience. Donoghue came on last week and did really well. Regan Linney's got that, you know, that bit of quality to open up. And then you look at the bench, and I've got them three who are like desperate to get on. And I was watching the warm-up, and I said to Brian, I said, I think I might have got it wrong. Look at Chucky Smith, look at Singo Smith, they're at it today. And a big body language fan. And listen, that's part and parcel of football management. It's part and parcel of me, because maybe I've got a bit more selfish with my team selection, because I'm not saying my team selection would have won the game today, but I like lads who go and work hard for each other. Finn Sinclair Smith, first and foremost, he's trickery, but he just works hard. And Dan Trickett Smith was, I can see why Liverpool signed him, I can see why Crewe Alexander signed him, I can see why he's at Port Vale. And Morgan Thompson Smith, you know, you can see that. And they created space, they created the energy for Tundy up the top. And at the first half, I thought he was isolated, he was running.
Speaking of Tundy, not just a hat-trick, but a real fighting hat-trick. He had to work for those three goals.
I felt sorry for him.
He was a talisman, really, wasn't
James,
he?
I felt sorry for him first half, and we came in at half time, and I said, you know, it's, when you're playing a 4 and an 8, which we did in Potts and Griff, how can a single man, a number 9, just do left and right, left and right, left and right? And we just isolated him, and that we didn't get close to him, we didn't help him, we were expecting him to do the fullback, the centre half, the fullback, and we've got to share that out. Second half, you've seen, he only had to operate the 18-yard box, and he does what Tundy Owolabi does best. He scores a hat-trick, and he's a menace, and you can see why he's a leading goal scorer. You probably see why he'll be crowned, or should be crowned player of the year, and the top goal scorer of the year, and probably clean up at, you know, FC United. But that's what he does, and, you know, I don't want him to change that. I don't want him to play left and right. That's what their lads do, and, you know, and... You know, I'm upset first half, but second half, I'm not.
But we also must remember one thing as well. That's a team that are now 12 points clear at the top.
Yeah.
They're a full-time team, and they're a good quality team.
Yeah.
I mean, they play nice football. They know where each other, and that goes with obviously the territory and the money that they've got and all the rest of it. So, you know, many clubs have come in and completely capitulated, and I think a lot more clubs would have been further mauling, but it was testament to the fact that we worked hard second half, and as you say, those three changes. And the one thing I'm sure you would agree, the three players that came off all knew themselves. They knew themselves, and they would have been disappointed for coming off, but they were disappointed with their own performances and know the reasons why they've come off. So they'll get back on that coach, they'll think about it, long journey back, and, you know, they'll be ready to go again, maybe if they can prove themselves again on Tuesday if we play.
Yeah, I mean, not them. Listen, any player that's out there that listens, that's played under me, you've got to work hard, and if you don't work hard, you're not playing for me. And that does, I don't mean, you know, long term, them players have got quality. Donna's really puts a shift in. It just didn't happen today, and, you know, but that's my mantra. You've got to work on it. It might be old fashioned, it might be dinosaur, you know, what everyone says, but I tell you what, it's the makings of a good football. And the minute you get that in, you 95% of your game is taken care of. The other 5%, you know, it comes when you're at the game tempo. And, you know, we weren't first half. Listen, credit to South Shields, they'll probably go on and win the league now, but, you know, like I said, this week, if anyone would have said to me that we were coming here 1-2 and we've given a real good account of ourselves second half, we would have taken that back in June. And, you know, like I said, Bates would have got beat. If it ends today and the league see common sense, that we both get promoted. You know, if they don't and we continue the season, then great, because I want to continue it. I want another 10 games, because this squad deserve another 10 games.
Well, listen, as always, it's great to talk to you. Know we're going to have another conversation to have some. Enjoy your trip back.
Yeah, brilliant.
Work hard. Magic. See you hopefully on Tuesday. If not, see you in 2022.
Yeah, you will do. And thanks for the fish and chips for tonight as well.
Make sure you enjoy
them. I really appreciate that. Cheers, Wompy.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. As discussed, there is a lot of uncertainty surrounding FC United's upcoming fixtures. At time of recording, FC will be returning to action this week with two home matches. Firstly, on Tuesday night, FC United are scheduled to host Whitby Town at Broadhurst Park with a 7:45pm kickoff. While on Saturday, the Reds are due to take on near neighbours Stalybridge Celtic in North Manchester. However, given the current climate, this could obviously be subject to change. For all the latest updates and the statuses of all upcoming matches, please follow the club's Twitter feed at FC United MCR, and also please do check the league and the club websites before commencing your journeys to Broadhurst Park on Tuesday and on Saturday. But that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12pm and 7pm on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9pm on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.